To our June 3rd meeting of the Plainview Old Beth Page Board of Education. I'd like to ask everybody to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ronell?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do you want to take them out of order instead of a high school rep?
No, you have to do the high school rep. They have to go back. They have exams.
I understand we have two gentlemen here to address the board.
Hello, my name is Yad Kazi.
Hello, I'm Nabil Makhda. I'm a student here at Mountland Middle School.
We would like to give you these cookies to share a holiday spirit with you all.
Thank you so much.
Our holiday is called Eid al-Fitr, and we hope you enjoyed the treats.
Thank you. Did you bake them yourselves? Is our high school representative here? Someplace. Ah.
See me speak. Hi, everyone. I hope you're all doing well, and I hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day break. I'd just like to start by congratulating Mr. Greenberg, Mrs. Rock, and Mrs. Stewart on their re-election and election. Is it on?
Yeah.
And I was able to help work the polls, and it was a really, really wonderful experience. My gov teacher actually told me about it, and I was able to check people in, and I was able to help. And I got to see how it really worked, and it was a really great experience to see that and give me a really great taste of what a real voting experience would look like. So I was given the opportunity to work at Matlin during the voting procedure. It was a great experience. And on May 18th, we had our junior gala, which went very, very well, and it was very memorable to the students. The junior class worked extremely hard, and all the students had a really wonderful time. Our freshman class, they worked on a JCC food drive, and that also went really well, and they raised a lot of money for that. And on June 29th, we had our underclassmen award ceremony, where many students were recognized for their countless achievements in various subjects and classes within the school. Today, students went in for a delayed opening, and some students went in early to take their global regents or to take their pre-calculus exam. Tomorrow is the high school choir concert at 7 p.m., and on June 6th at 5 p.m., we will be having the Thespian Honor Society induction. This Friday at 3 p.m. is the high school sign-and-dine, and student government has decided to stick with elections, so the students have already previously recorded their election speeches, and those will be played this week, and students will be given the opportunity to vote. Like always, we are also working on the previous amendments that we shared with you guys at the last board meeting, and we are working to format that into the Constitution, and we're very excited to do so, and we really thank you for the time you gave us last week. It was a really great experience to talk with everyone. I'd also like to congratulate all the teachers here who are getting tenure, and happy holidays to those who are celebrating tomorrow.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Is our middle school representative here? No. Okay. I would like to introduce our new board member-elect, Tara Rock, to the community. Congratulations to Mr. Greenberg on his re-election, and Ms. Stewart could not be here this evening. Are there any board announcements? Manel.
I was very privileged to have been with at the Memorial Day Parade. It was absolutely fantastic. Of course, with my feelings of patriotism, it was beautiful to see all the children that we did see, so I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Also, I was at the Old Beth Page celebration for Memorial Day, which was beautifully done. Children learned all about what the meaning of Memorial Day is, and the veterans were very, very thrilled. That was Mr. Michael. Michael Iannucci's brainchild, which he did very, very nicely. So thank you, and thank you for all your support in that.
Thank you, Debbie.
I just wanted to congratulate everybody tonight and really recognize how full this room is, full of family, friends, full of a lot of love. So congratulations.
Happy people. And also, I want to thank the community for the overwhelming support for our budget and our propositions. It's a wonderful school district, and it's glad to see that our community comes out. Thank you to PTA. Thank you to everybody who went out and got out the vote. This is a big move for us. And, you know, it always shows that people understand what our propositions are. They understand our capital reserve and everything else. So on behalf of the Board of Education, Central Administration, we want to just thank everybody, the administrators who made sure everything that was working well, and people are just happy in our buildings. Any other announcements? Lauren?
I know our student government representative had mentioned it, but the underclassmen awards were so wonderful. So I want to congratulate everyone who received a special secretive award. And thank you to Mr. Murray and your staff and everyone, because it was really just an emotional, wonderful, wonderful night. So thank you. And just public service, but kind of not. Our Relay for Life is this Saturday. So come on out. It's always such a great night. And give back, because we can't give up our fight. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Lewis.
Yes, I'll be very brief. I had a meeting this week with the Senator Shelley Mayer, who is in charge of the Education Committee. And there are two bills that we are asking our legislators to support. One has already been passed by the Senate, but we need to get it through the Assembly. So we have contacted Chuck Levine for his support. And that is one that really means a lot to us, because it will release the cap for security guards who are police officers. Anna Kaplan, by the way, is a Long Island legislator who put that in, so that they will be able to earn up to $65,000, which would be currently they can only earn $30,000, which really will impact our ability to get seasoned veteran officers to continue to serve as security. So that has been through the Senate, thanks to Anna Kaplan. She's in the Roslyn area. And then the second one, most important, which is a reason we had convened the meeting, that is one that Shelley Mayer put in, and that is to try to exempt schools from paid time off during elections. The governor has put in put into law the necessity to release staff for 4 hours during the elections, all elections, which means not just the federal elections, but all elections. And you can imagine that that would be a very costly venture for schools. So we presented this to we've been lobbying for it, and Shelley Mayer has picked it up. I understand the governor is not really interested in going the other way on this bill, because he really wanted schools closed on election day, only he didn't realize that it's not just one election day. There's village, there's water, fire, sewer, you name it. And so what we try to do is to at least come up with a compromise that if we have to be closed, that it only be limited to the federal day, election. We're hoping that that will go through. I've spoken with our legislators, all of our legislators, and we're hoping that we will be able to support that. But it was a very interesting meeting. We looked at other bills, but I just highlight those two.
Dr. Lewis, now we have a very special time in the lives of many people here, tenure recognition.
Yes.
And so...
Yes, we are pleased to, and I'm going to hand it over to Dr. Molieri, who really has put this whole program together, but we have 14 faculty staff members who will be brought into the permanent status in our profession, and two administrators who I proudly will present all 16 of them to the board for tenure. Dr. Molieri.
Thank you, Dr. Lewis. As you said, we have 16 members of our family who will be recommended for tenure this evening. Our principals and chair people and directors will be coming up and speaking on their behalf. So without further ado, why don't we start the festivities with Dr. Coladonato at Matlin Middle School. Come on forward.
I want to recognize Yichen Wang first, so congratulations, Yichen. Yichen, would you come up here, and Dr. Chan as well? She's taking care of her child's outside, so I'm actually going to start with Melissa Gajinski, if Melissa can join us up here, and Dr. Wiley. Thank you. Melissa is joined by her husband, John, and her twin sons, Ben and Ryan. To the Board of Education, thank you for having us tonight. To the community, thank you for joining us on this really special special occasion. It is with great pleasure that I recommend Ms. Melissa Gajinski for tenure within the Plainview Old Bethpage Central School District. Ms. Gajinski joined the Plainview Old Bethpage Schools in September 2015. During her tenure period, Ms. Gajinski has shown professionalism and expertise in all areas of her teaching middle school art and has shown tremendous success with students and various skill development. Ms. Gajinski has been an art teacher at Matlin during the four years and has truly enhanced the program within the building and beyond. Ms. Gajinski has an impressive resume that includes a master's degree from LIU University, CW Post 2011, and a Bachelor's of Fine Arts at the School of Visual Arts. She graduated in June 2001. Ms. Gajinski is a wonderful complement to our middle school. It would be very difficult to find anyone more passionate about art and the variety of ways to encourage middle school students to learn. It's a joy to watch even the most disengaged student become swept up in exploring the world of art through Ms. Gajinski's methodical approach. A visit to Ms. Gajinski's classroom reveals her understanding of the middle school child and her eagerness to provide students a profound learning experience. She has been at the forefront of creating innovative classroom environments where students are excited to create artwork in a flexible and comfortable setting. An example of this is her addition of flexible seating and peer-to-peer help stations within her class. Ms. Gajinski's instructional approaches, no matter what grade level or course, are appropriate and follow the middle school art curriculum in place here at POB. Ms. Gajinski's lessons are always thought-provoking, engaging, fun, and prepare students for their future in visual arts. Overall, Ms. Gajinski has been an amazing addition to our school and has brought the middle school program to new heights with her artistic expertise, friendly and helpful nature, emphasis on student success, art technology integration, and ability to create new and exciting ways for students to become involved. Ms. Gajinski is an excellent teacher of art, and I trust that she will continue to be a self-reflective professional. Given the opportunity for tenure, Ms. Gajinski will provide a future for students and families at POB. Therefore, it is my pleasure to recommend Ms. Gajinski for tenure to the Board of Education. Thank you. Congratulations, Melissa.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Melissa. I hope Yichen is back in the room. She may or may not be. She is. There she is. Congratulations, Yichen. Come up here. And Dr. Chan's going to join us as well. Congratulations. Thank you for joining us to celebrate the professional benchmark and to recognize this accomplishment of Yichen Wang. Yichen is joined by her husband Tim and her two sons Bruce and Brian. It is with great pleasure that I recommend Ms. Wang for tenure within the Plainview Old Bethpage School District. Ms. Wang is most accomplished and we are lucky to have her as part of our family. Her academic accomplishments speak for themselves. Ms. Wang brace yourselves. Ms. Wang has been awarded a BA in English Literature from Suzhou University in Taipei. She earned a master's degree in teaching English as a second language and Mandarin as a foreign language from New York University, earned a certificate in marketing and management from Baruch College, and lastly, she was awarded a postmaster's teacher certificate in teaching English as a second language and Mandarin as a foreign language. Ms. Wang came to POB with the experience as a teacher of Chinese in the Half Hollow Hills School District, Syosset High School, and Edward Bleeker Junior High School in New York City. Ms. Wang has taught Chinese at all the levels at our district. She first began teaching Chinese and culture at JFK High School, and through the years, she has expanded her repertoire to include elementary and middle school teaching. She is a meticulous instructor who works hard to provide the best learning experiences for her students. Her unit planning always includes elements of three modes of communication. She has practiced public speaking in the target language through use of videos and in-class presentations. She's also trained her students well in character writing and typing Chinese. Moreover, Ms. Wang is approachable to students and provides them with the needed support to reach their potential. In terms of professional development, she was a co-presenter at the 2019 Northeast Conference on Teaching of the Foreign Languages. Ms. Wang is an excellent teacher of Chinese, and I trust that she will continue to be a self-reflective professional. Given the opportunity for tenure, Yichen will provide a future for students and families at POB schools. It is with great pleasure that I recommend Yichen for tenure in the POB Central School District. Congratulations. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Dr. Coldonato. If I could ask Dr. Allison Clark to please come up and speak on her staff.
Good evening, everybody. This is a very exciting night, so I'm going to invite Robin Rosenblum to come and stand with me, please. So Robin Rosenblum has been at Stratford Road for the past 3 years as a second grade and now fourth grade teacher. Her experiences teaching in the New York City school system and extensive teacher's college training were immediately evident, particularly within the humanities. Robin develops strong and thoughtful readers and writers who apply their skills within other academic areas. She follows an inquiry approach, piloted one of our math programs, and has advanced student learning by integrating instructional technology. This strength in curriculum is clearly an asset to us all, but what also stands out is Robin's respect to her students. She encourages them to try it and nudges them to work through challenges. Robin's contributions to our school and district include birthday wishes, DASA, Title IX, summer reading, and the grading committee. She always supports community-sponsored contests and letter writing and ran a grade 4 coding club this year. As a leader, Robin has shared her knowledge with colleagues, students, and parents at Superintendent's Unconference Day and Elementary Literacy Night just last week. I know this will continue as we venture into our initial writing work with Teachers College. Robin has demonstrated her commitment to POB these past 3 years and will continue to provide a solid education along with continued advancement of her craft. This community is fortunate to have Robin within the POB schools. It is with great delight that I very highly support a tenure recommendation for Robin Rosenblum. And next, Danielle Mormino. Danielle Mormino has been part of the POB community for the last 6 years. So you're probably saying, wait, 6 years? Her varied certifications in reading, special education, and general elementary education have afforded her placements in all of these settings within Stratford Road over these years. Danielle started as a leave replacement in reading, then was a leave replacement in a special class, before getting settled into a general classroom position. I can certainly talk about her instructional strengths related to learning targets, inquiry, workshop, differentiation, formative assessment, technology, but instead I'd just like to highlight her strengths in connecting with children and their parents, focusing on growth mindset and social-emotional needs, and being honest with children as they learn how to navigate making choices. Danielle always demonstrates being a learner and one who reflects upon her own work as she attends courses, professional development, and collaborates with colleagues. Danielle has also made contributions to school and district initiatives. She participates in building committees for birthday wishes, DASA, Relay for Life, School Spirit, and No Place for Hate. She also shares her knowledge with colleagues, such as superintendents on conference day and math workshop in action visitations. She is a learner and a leader. When walking into Danielle's classroom, one can easily see high expectations in a child-friendly classroom, ensuring that there is never fear of failure while learning. Our students, parents, and staff are very lucky to have Danielle as part of our community, and it is with great pride that I very highly support a tenure recommendation for Danielle Mormino.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. Next on our agenda, could I ask Mr. James Murray to come to the mic?
Thank you, Dr. Molieri. Good evening, everybody. Congratulations, of course, to our new Board of Education trustees. Welcome aboard. It's a very special night for us tonight. We are actually honoring those for special education, English, art, and business at the high school. I'm going to start off with Jillian Candelaria, she's out there. Okay. See, what you see out there is what you see in her classroom as well, actually. That kind of exuberance was a perfect example. Yeah, it is The Price is Right. And you didn't overbid. Good job. Welcome, Jillian, and her, of course, her boyfriend who's here tonight, Chris, as well as parents, sister, relatives, and friends. I think they may take up 3/4 of the audience tonight. I'm here representing Jillian. So it's really very nice to see. And I think that a big part of that is, come up here so I can see you. And Jeff Yagoloff, too. Dolores, where is she? Please. A big part of the reason why this is so special, I think, is because of all the experiences that Jillian has had over the years, the lever placements that she's had leading up to her coming to Plainview Bethpage and us being so fortunate to be able to welcome you and helping us create greater footprints of excellence in our district. So we are really very happy to have you aboard. She has superb technology skills. I have to tell you, every one of her lessons includes them. Her curriculum and IEP writing are top-notch. Parent communication as well. I'm only hear wonderful things about that with regard to you. She's just a passionate educator and motivator for those students that are struggling, that don't believe in themselves. She believes in them and helps them to believe in themselves. And that just comes through. In addition to all of that she's doing in the classroom, she's a Twilight instructor for our first year of Twilight, so we're very proud of that experience that she does. She's the advisor to Girls Learn International, and she's also preparing her dissertation proposal for the Learning and Teaching Doctorate Program at Hofstra University. So she really is one very, very busy person. But we are truly very happy to have you aboard, and with such exuberance that you had before, I present to the board with my recommendation for tenure for you. If I could ask Mr. Yagoloff to come up and join me along with Amanda Jacovina. Welcome, Amanda, along with Amanda and her husband, Joe, and her two sons,
yep.
Correct?
Parents
oh, parents back there as well. Welcome, parents. Good to have you here, too. Thank you for being here tonight. We love it. Part of the extended family of POB. Amanda is an English teacher at POB JFK High School. She excels in her knowledge of New York State as well as College Board learning standards for English language arts for the AP language and composition course as well as for AP capstone. So although she's been teaching the 9th and 10th grade predominantly at the high school so far, we have high plans for her that she's going to continue teaching, of course, those levels, but other courses as well. She's a superb lesson planner as well as assessment developer for her students. She's taken on to the ergonomic furniture design courses, design for our courses, and has incorporated that into her lessons beautifully. She enjoys warm working relationships with her students as well as with their parents and her colleagues as well. Everybody in the department really enjoys working with her. Her classroom is truly an academic culture. When you are in her classroom, you just feel that you're almost in it like a college setting. I just enjoy being in there so much. She employs a technique of presenting a skill set to her students where she works with them on presenting a task, and then they take it to the next level. She employs both formative as well as summative assessments into her instruction, and she, of course, is a great communicator with her parents as well. We are truly very happy. Without reservation, we present Amanda Giacovina for tenure. Not only do we have one teacher in the English department, but we have two this year. We have Kimberly Muller, if you could join me up here, please. Oh, that's okay. Kimberly is joined this evening by her mother and her sister, Diana. Very happy that they're here as well. Okay. Kimberly is also extremely well-versed in both New York State as well as the College Board standards for capstone, which is what she is a capstone co-teacher with Michael Horn from the Social Studies Department. They work very well together. She's very collegial with anybody that she works with. Kimberly is one teacher that you could give her anything to teach, and she's happy to teach it. She is never one to say, I don't want to teach that or I can't do it. She's accepts everything with open arms, and it's really very wonderful. When she came here, we were at the position where we needed a theater teacher, and she came in, and she developed a brand new theater program for us. And this past year, with I think a little of encouragement from Dr. Lewis, right, she presented the play The Crucible for us, which she did as an extracurricular after school. It was our fall drama production, which was incredible. It was really, truly an incredible experience, and I'm very excited with the new stage for you for next year. That'll be even better, so I'm sure of that as well. I'm sure she's actually thinking about what she's going to do. She's also a teacher that has embraced the ergonomic furniture design in her courses, and has incorporated that into her lessons. She forges very, very good close relationships with her students that are based on respect, kindness, and trust. There are never any discipline problems with any of the teachers that I'm actually presenting to you this evening. They just really work extremely well with their students and connect to them well. She's a dynamic presence in her classroom, filled with boundless energy, and that smile that's on her face now is always there, even at 6:45 in the morning. I'm faking it, I have to be honest with you. but
coffee
does
help, yes, you're right. So I don't think I don't want to forget anything because it's so important. She's also taught two separate AP courses since she's been with us, which is extremely important to know. Besides the capstone, she's also taught the AP language and composition course as well, which is extremely helpful for us, having teachers that can do different courses. She's always willing to teach anything, like I mentioned before. She's the advisor to the Writers' Cafe, the fall drama, as well as she helps out with the spring musical productions as well. So she's just always present and always very helpful, and we just are just so happy to have her aboard. We'd like to present you for a recommendation for tenure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Jeff. Okay, if Dr. Wiley as well as Jenna McHugh can join me. Oh, I know. Me too. Jenna's joined this evening by her fiancé, Eric. Nice to meet you, Eric. Jenna is an art teacher at POBJFK High School, but she has actually taught over the years at Pasadena Elementary School as well. But we're very fortunate to have her full-time at the high school at this point anyway. Hopefully we can keep it there. Okay. What I love to say about Jenna is whenever I go into her classes to observe, I always leave there learning something different about different artists. She always incorporates different artists into her lessons that students are expanding their knowledge of art history. And we're very excited that we'll be starting the AP Art History program coming up in the future, and she's going to be our teacher for it, which she has a degree in that. So that's really wonderful that we have that. And have somebody that's an expert in that area for us. She always has very innovative projects that she incorporates into her lessons. Lessons are age-specific. They would have to be for her to be teaching it from Pasadena up to the high school. And she follows the curriculum, but yet makes learning fun, innovative, engaging, and, of course, relatable to all of her students. She incorporates also peer-to-peer critiques, which always seem to make me nervous when they do. But with her, she has taught her students how to do it and do it appropriately, where they're helping each other to learn and to grow in a positive way. And that's an art, and no pun intended, actually, there, but I'll take it. She's also involved in local outreach with the different community organizations, and we're really very excited that she's been able to incorporate that with the art program. So we, of course, with that reservation, congratulate you and recommend you for tenure. Thank you, Jenna. And now Catherine Tortoso, I could welcome her up, as well as Eric Harthunian. Okay, I'd like to welcome Catherine and her husband, of course, Michael, and her mom are here tonight. So welcome. Catherine is a business teacher at POBJFK High School, and she comes to us with a background with child development and marketing. And with that, she creates very dynamic lessons that engage learners of all modalities. She welcomes all students into her class. They gravitate towards being in Ms. Tortoso's classroom. She collaborates and shares ideas to find marketing solutions with her colleagues, but also, of course, with the students in her class. No problem that her students have are problems that are without her being able to help them with. And she really dedicates all her time to working with her students. She teaches the students the intricacies of the Microsoft Office Suite program. Now, students who master Excel, PowerPoint, and Word have an opportunity to get the MOS certification at the end of the class if they successfully complete a training assessment, all under her domain. So that's really a great opportunity for the students that are taking the business programs. She collaborates with fellow department members on all of her projects. She's a co-advisor to DECA, which is extremely very important, and has traveled all over with them and has always brought every single one of them back. We greatly appreciate that, without fail. Yes, right? But in all honesty, the way they run that program, I never have to worry because I know they're in great hands. They take the program extremely seriously, meet with all of their parents ahead of time, and, of course, under Eric's domain, of course, Mr. Harthunian. She also does her setting of her classroom in a non-traditional type of manner, and she does that to allow for students to collaborate to the best of their abilities and for all learners to remain engaged and participate. Again, her classroom management skills are top-notch, never a problem with that. She recognizes when students need support and encouragement and goes out of her way to make sure that they're getting what they need. She's often answering questions relating to design and coloring for projects, as well as font selection, etc. So when you go into her classroom, there really are, it is like a business program exemplified to a T. She applies real-world examples to what the students are learning. And in addition to, of course, by the way, I mentioned being the co-advisor to DECA, she's also the advisor to the Business Honor Society. And through that, she's developed great relationships with different community organizations and local charities such as Stacy's Warriors. So we are extremely very fortunate to have you, Catherine, as a part of our team. And we just look forward to seeing you continue to grow in the POB family. Thank you again.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. Can I ask Ms. Karen Heitner to come to the microphone?
It's so exciting. So tonight I am honored to present Joe Luray with tenure. But let me tell you a little story. Joe Luray comes into the office every day, greets me warmly, how are you, how are you doing, how'd you sleep? Like, he's so kind. And then I realized one day he said, Karen, you know, there's not a lot of treats in the kitchenette. What's going on in the mornings? And I said, are you coming here to say hello or to get treats? But it turns out that he is actually coming to say hello. And I'd like to say congratulations to all the teachers being recommended for tenure tonight, especially those who have worked in our building, Yi Chin and Jenna. Congratulations. I wish you were still with us. You're wonderful people. Congratulations. Tonight, Joe is with his wife and his two kids, Jacob and Ava, who happen to be POB kids. Thank you so much for coming tonight. There are so many things about our school district in Pasadena that make me proud, and Joe Luray is one of my points of pride. Mr. Luray is an asset to our school. His students love him and greet him at his classroom door every morning with a personal handshake. He makes learning fun and does it in a really funny way, too. Kids are always laughing and smiling in his room. Mr. Luray prides himself on understanding his students and their needs and makes personal connections with each student to further his understanding of them. Just like the individualized greeting at the door, he gets to know the students' interests and likes and brings them up in his lessons. Mr. Luray calls his class a clamily. This is because they are a class family, and I think all of his students truly believe that. He is a great role model, teacher, coach, and March Madness enthusiast. We are proud that he is a part of our Pasadena team. Thank you, Joe, for choosing us. And tonight, I am pleased to recommend Joe Luray for tenure at Plainview Old Bethpage.
Thank you, Ms. Heitner. May I ask Mr. Greg Sesney to the microphone, please?
Thank you. Before I call up Alana Diener, I'm going to ask Mrs. Clampett to come up here with me also, because we share everything at JJP. And I got to tell you right now, this is a text exchange between Joanna and me. Alana's parents are here. Is Addison here? No, Hudson's here. No, Barry's here. Trisha. So here's who was here for Miss Alana Diener. Her mom, her dad, Barry, Addison, her sister Karen, her brother-in-law Jeremy, Trisha Rehill, who's a friend and a colleague, and her class and their parents. So fantastic stuff. This weekend, I was thinking about Alana Diener and how she and I ended up here tonight together. For those of you who don't know it, Alana Diener was hired as a leave replacement at the POB Kindergarten Center in its final year. Late in August of 2015, I received a phone call from a teacher who was out on maternity leave telling me that she would not be returning until after the Christmas vacation. So I called Jill Giresh, who was the assistant sup for curriculum at the time, and she sent me some resumes. And while I was looking them over, Jeremy Ritter popped his head into my office. He was at the KA Center for Camp Apollo. And he said, Greg, are you looking for a teacher? I said, as a matter of fact, I am. And he went on to explain that his sister-in-law, who was a teacher in New York City, was coming back after her maternity leave, and that she was hoping to continue her career on Long Island a little closer to home. So I interviewed her, I liked her, and I hired her, with the understanding that this position was only available until December. Well, things have a way of working themselves out, and in early December, I learned that Alana would continue in that lead position for the remainder of the year. The more I worked with Alana, the more I liked what I saw. Alana's parents and students loved her, and she planned lessons that allowed each of her children to thrive individually. When the K Center closed and I was reassigned to be the principal of Parkway School, and as luck would have it, a position opened in the kindergarten, and I was able to bring Alana with me. For those of you who are not aware, Alana Sarfati and her sister Karen Sarfati, her twin sister Karen, attended Parkway School back in the day. So, and I think Rennell was their principal. So teaching at JJP is a real homecoming for Alana. 2 years ago, I asked Alana to bring her skills to another grade. She jumped at the chance, and today she teaches first grade in the same classroom where she attended first grade. Alana's classroom management is based on the premise that relationships are key and routines are crucial. She sets high expectations for her students and encourages them to always do their best. Alana shows warmth, respect, and fairness to all of her students. She understands the importance of addressing the social and emotional needs of her young charges and consistently strives to create an environment where her students thrive. Alana is truly a professional who takes her job seriously. She is honest and reliable, and invariably uses her best judgment when making decisions. Alana works collaboratively with her colleagues at building administration and is a team player who can be counted on to lend a hand or help out whenever she is needed. She is a frequent participant at faculty meetings and always has a positive and meaningful thoughts to contribute. So it is with absolutely no reservations that I respectfully recommend Alana Diener be granted tenure in the Plainview Olbeth Page School District.
Thank you, Mr. Sesney. Could I ask Ms. Suzanne Gray to come to the microphone?
Good evening, everyone. Hi. Good evening, everyone. Congratulations to everyone receiving their tenure. This is a wonderful night for the Plainview students and families. Do I have anybody here who wants to talk about a special teacher? Any students want to come up here? I see a couple more. So why don't we start, Dr. Y, are you here? Where are you? You want to come on up? Why don't we start by talking about Mrs. Christensen, Mrs. Christine Christensen. Come on up, Mrs. Christensen. She's joined by her husband and her daughter, Natalie. That's Natalie, guys. Natalie just turned a year, and it's an hour past her bedtime. So she's doing great. Christine Christensen has been an asset to our building for the last 3 years and consistently raises expectations for students and staff, including her administrators. She's thoughtful and extremely organized in planning and delivering exceptional lessons that are aligned to standards and district curriculum. Her students consistently participate in empowering activities in which they understand that learning is a process and mistakes are a natural part of that. Her students have ownership over their learning using tools such as rubrics, checklists, calendars for recording things, student-led conferences, and various forms of technology. She encourages students to accept responsibility for their own learning and accommodates the diverse learning needs of all of her students by providing differentiating tasks. They're involved in focused work in which they're active learners and where they monitor their own progress towards their learning targets. They understand what proficient and exceptional work looks like, and they have tools to determine what steps are necessary to improve their own work. It is truly a self-centered classroom. Assessment fully integrated into her daily lessons, and she revises instructional strategies based on student achievement data. She maintains assessment binders for all of her students, into which students contribute things as well. Students self and peer assess in every content area multiple times throughout the day, and they provide feedback, both teacher-driven and student-driven. She exudes warmth and caring and sets very high standards for behavior. She communicates with parents on a regular basis. She sends pictures, newsletters, and updates so families stay involved in what's going on each week. Many parents have shared that they are quite impressed with her management and are thankful for the repertoire she uses to capture students' interests and engage all members of the class in rigorous learning activities no matter their level. She's developed strong relationships with her families as her communication is prompt and genuine. Christine's extended herself beyond the classroom, volunteering for curriculum projects over the summer and facilitating staff development for colleagues both inside and outside of the district. She's established a reputation in our community for being a strong but loving teacher. She seeks out learning opportunities and feedback consistently from both colleagues and supervisors in order to best address her students' needs. Children are at the heart of her teaching, and it is with great pleasure that I recommend her for tenure.
Did I leave any?
So we have a couple of more people at Old Beth Page we're very excited about. Miss Caitlin Cianfrocco. Michaela and Jack, you want to come up with Mommy? Michaela and Jack, you want to come up with Mommy? Of course. Are you proud of Mommy? Okay. You're very proud. We're proud of her, too. Caitlin Cianfrocco has been instrumental as the math AIS teacher at Old Beth Page Elementary School for the last 3 years. She supports both students and teachers and engages and encourages all learners towards understanding and proficiency in mathematics. She displays extensive knowledge of mathematical concepts and of effective pedagogical approaches for teaching math. Her students know and understand the routines, including assessing themselves and their peers. They are actively involved in her classroom as she understands how students learn best. Her students work with her to set individual goals, and the activities she plans provides opportunities for them to problem solve and build on each other's strengths. She plans differentiated tasks that maximize the student understanding. And whenever you visit her classroom, there's a high level of respect for her, as well as for all of the students in there that are struggling or not struggling. They believe in the growth mindset. They support each other to solve problems and provide feedback in order to help each and every one grow. Students are always persevering in her class and being celebrated for their determination. They take pride in their work, and I believe that students feel valued and take risks when working in her environment. She has created a culture of and for learning. Her instruction is based on students' strengths and weaknesses, and they enter her classroom highly motivated to work on their own goals and with peers. Feedback is at the center of her lessons, and students take responsibility for their learning based on her feedback and the feedback of friends. Mrs. Cianfrocco facilitated workshops for both Old Beth Page teachers as well as teachers from the other elementary schools in our district. She regularly shares and plans with colleagues and has participated in a variety of both school and district events to support students and teachers in the area of mathematics. Caitlin has shown herself to be reflective and thoughtful throughout her time here. She has created strong relationships with members of the community and parents, and she can always be heard asking, "How can I lend a hand to support a student, a colleague, or a family?" Old Beth Page students and staff have absolutely benefited by having her as part of our community. The district has benefited from her being part of the math community, and it is with pleasure that I recommend her for tenure this evening. Congratulations. I'd now like to call up Mrs. Albert, Mrs. Kristen Albert. Does anybody want to stand with Mrs. Albert? Want to stand up here? Wow. Oh, nice one.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Jack.
Here we go. There you go. Okay. This is what happens when you put elementary students last, just so you know.
I'll do it every time. This is great.
Kristen Albert, well, her mom and dad want to see her. Yeah, okay. So Mrs. Albert is here with her husband, her parents, and her in-laws. Kristen Albert has been a breath of fresh air since the moment she joined the Old Bethpage family in 2015. Kristen has displayed extensive knowledge of the elementary reading, writing, social studies, and math disciplines in her short time here. Colleagues who have been teaching for over 20 years have asked to observe her in these areas as she demonstrates a true understanding of how students learn and what active engagement looks like. Her selection of resources not only supports standards and district curriculum, but it enhances learning as it challenges student thinking, encourages collaboration and discussion, utilizes technology, and includes opportunities for student choice and for students to ask additional questions that interest them. Students have true ownership over what they are learning in Mrs. Elbert's class. She differentiates for students using a variety of methods to assess her students' skills in order to design engaging lessons that meet their varied levels. She has been praised and is held in the highest regard by our district consultants working with our teachers from integrated classrooms, and her classroom has been used as a model classroom for others. The district literacy consultant is impressed and has asked others to plan with her as she is truly a highly effective teacher. Her assessment is embedded into daily instruction, and students play active roles in collecting information about their own progress. In the past 3 years, she has consistently provided all of her students with exceptional learning opportunities and experiences, no matter what their level. Kristen has established a community that has a shared belief in the importance of learning, working collaboratively, and always conducting themselves respectfully. Her classroom is a true community of learners where students treat each other with respect and where she focuses her attention on the social-emotional needs of her students and their families so that everyone feels supported, empowered, and accepted. It is with great enthusiasm that I make the recommendation for Kristen Elbert's tenure tonight. Yay, so Dr. Y, you can stay here. I waited 13 years for a partner like this, so you probably shouldn't give him tenure, keep him here. Okay. It is with great enthusiasm that I recommend Dr. Michael Iannucci for tenure in the Plainview Old Bethpage School District tonight. Over the past 4 years, Dr. Iannucci has demonstrated that he is an exemplary leader who is dedicated to upholding a positive culture in order to promote student growth and staff development. He maintains a strong focus on the vision and the goals set forth in our strategic plan, and he puts students' needs at the heart of his decision-making. Over the past 4 years, he has developed strong relationships with staff members, gaining their utmost trust by soliciting feedback about the existing school culture, demonstrating equity and transparency, ensuring teachers have resources in a timely fashion when requested, and most importantly, making staff members feel respected and supported. He is always found in classrooms working with students or meeting with staff members to plan engaging lessons. Teachers seek him out for feedback regarding instructional goals and targets. He is extremely knowledgeable, believes in open communication, and provides meaningful feedback in a timely manner that teachers respect and appreciate. Dr. Iannucci is well respected and loved by our students, all of whom know that Dr. Y is always there to read with them, play at rec or in gym with them, or just be there to talk with. The students in our building know Dr. Iannucci is their cheerleader and their advocate. He has forged strong relationships with our parent community as well. They have expressed how impressed they are with how quickly he responds to phone calls and how he handles situations with respect and sensitivity when dealing with our children. He has reached out to members of the community in an effort to support our school and incorporate real-world experiences into our students' classroom experiences. It is bittersweet tonight. I can go on and on about how Dr. Iannucci deserves his tenure as the assistant principal here, but he deserves more than that. He has come to Old Bethpage with a smile every day and a positive attitude as the assistant principal. He has challenged us to be better than we are. He's caused us to think outside the box, and he is a leader and a friend to all. I want to thank Brittany for sharing him with us for these last 4 years. I want to congratulate him on everything that he has done for us and all of the things that he has made us believe in over the last 4 years. I got to do it. It is with the highest esteem and the greatest confidence that I recommend Dr. Michael Iannucci for tenure. I have no doubt that he will be a wonderful leader and do great things for the children and families, no matter what district he is in.
Thank you, Ms. Gray. If I can ask Dr. O'Mara to please come to the microphone.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to ask our instructional team of leaders to come join me as we recognize Dr. Chan and recommend him for tenure this evening. So will all the chair people and directors come up and join me, as Dr. Chan has been an integral part of our instructional leadership team. Thank you. So Dr. Chan, upon his arrival, was quick to assess the strengths and the opportunities in the World Language Department, and then set a course of aligning the curriculum, increasing enrollment in our AP courses, and providing the World Language Department with relevant professional development, particularly the areas of instructional technology. He has brought attention to POB's World Language Program nationally, on the state level and local level, with his active participation in professional communities and presentations at them. And Dr. Chan is also an excellent teacher. His students love him. He has passed on the language of Mandarin and the culture of the Chinese people to our students here at POB. And wow, I'm actually getting all clump here, Dr. Chan. Deep breath. But the one thing that most of us here stand with him is because of his kindness and his warm-heartedness and his scholarship and him challenging us all to be better people. So without reservation, I recommend to the Board of Education Dr. Chan's tenure tonight.
Thank you, Dr. O'Mara, and congratulations to all our candidates for tenure this evening.
Yes. I would like to ask the board please to take out of order 7.1 and 7.5 on the motion. Debbie, second. Seth, any discussion? All in favor. Congratulations on your tenure. We'll take a couple minute break so everybody can leave what they want. Yes. Oh. Yes. Yes. We'll take a 5 minute break so everybody can clear or take pictures. Was anybody here?
Who?
Oh,
who?
You didn't tell me.
Tell her. How would she know? Tell her which one, and then she'll announce it as soon as we can.
Why didn't you tell me ahead of time?
Right.
I wouldn't have taken them out of order.
getting ready.
Oh.
Huh? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. We will. She's going to throw it to you and then you just say it.
Welcome back, everyone. Tonight we have probationary appointments for people who are going to be joining our school family.
Okay, thank you very
much.
We'd
like to welcome.
By action of the Board of Education this evening, before we broke for a little break, the board appointed the following people to probationary appointments in the Plainville Bethpage School District. If you are here this evening, please stand when you hear your name called. Not new to the district, but back to ENL is Lauren Teamsma. She's going to be at Pasadena doing ENL. At Matlin Middle School doing fifth grade, Tracy Kennard. At Pasadena, Stacy Chin. At the high school, librarian, Catherine Gannon. At Judy Jacobs Parkway Elementary School, Lindsay Lippold. At Pasadena, Peter Ravo. Doing the Discovery Lab at Stratford Road, Cheryl Satil. New psychologist to the district, Rachel Sansinger. And elementary ed at Plainview Old Bethpage Middle School, Allison Whitaker. Welcome all and congratulations.
We wish you all very, very successful tenure in our district. Congratulations again on behalf of the Board of Education. If anybody wants to leave, you don't feel that you have to say it's okay. However, if you leave, you know. Take pictures.
Okay.
Dr. Lewis.
So tonight we begin preliminary discussions regarding a facility that we have that was built in 1955. Built in 1955 and was last occupied in June of 1974. The building has about 47,000 square feet of usable space and an additional 2,567 square feet of basement space, and sits on a property of 8.4 acres. And it is the smallest building that the district owns. The Association for Children with Down Syndrome, otherwise known as ACDS for short, has leased this facility since 1999, and they currently have a lease that is in the last year of the lease. They really take care of that facility by meeting the expenses, including insurance, general maintenance, utilities, and rent. And if you look at our budget, we get about $500,000 in rent from that facility. The lease expires this August 2019, and they have expressed an interest to purchase the building they have not expressed an interest to continue to lease the building. We began this discussion last June, in fact, exactly 1 year ago, because we started in June 4, 2018. We again spoke about it in July of July 2nd, and in September we also spoke about it. A little bit of the historical revenue. We do get a monthly, as I said, we get a monthly with total annual revenue of about $522,177. We will have this set of slides up for anyone who wishes to see it. Our annual costs and expenses exceed about $100,000 annually. And when we were looking at putting the bond together, we did look at what it would cost us to continue to maintain the building. And in the bond, we have about $726,000 appropriated to replace fire alarms and interior doors. The actual cost to the community for these projects, if completed, will actually approach $1.1 million, if completed. We have done the very bare necessity, as in the fire alarm, because it is our building and we had to maintain that. When we did our building condition survey, which we have to do for all of our buildings in 2016, it would cost us close to $7 million to make any repairs to bring it to satisfactory condition for our use. As I said, ACDS has notified us that they're interested in buying the property. They've engaged a broker, and we have been in discussion with them. Our attorneys and their attorneys have been discussing it. We are currently negotiating and discussing a contract, which has moved us to the point where we need to notify the public about this, and that's where we are. One thing that I really have to speak on, because our fields are so used in POB, is in any of our discussions, we are very clear about preserving our fields for district use. So we're really talking about the actual facilities. So the actual facility, but maintaining our fields, that's very important, and in any of our negotiations that we have been doing. So this is to notify the public and to begin any kind of board discussion, as in what questions would the board need to ask before we can move forward.
Thank you, Dr. Lewis. As we begin our discussion tonight, as Dr. Lewis said, we have over the past year been in contact with the school. We obviously are very concerned about the fields, we're concerned about the residents and everybody else, so this is going to be our opportunity to begin our discussion as to the use or the sale of that building. Are there any board questions or comments that they want to make? Seth? Go ahead.
Look, I think it's important that we do our due diligence by, you know, engaging in discussions, asking the questions, getting this information. If there are follow-ups, certainly we should do that. An arrangement that I would favor would be one in which we maintain the fields, but also access to the fields. Obviously, that may have an impact on just preserving those fields and subdividing the land. There is, in my opinion, financial operational reasons why we should do this. If we look at the numbers that were just presented, and we even just look at the conservative numbers, it takes more than $100,000 every year to maintain it, even if we just assume the $100,000. If we don't even include the costs from the 2014 bond, which is going to be about $1.1 million. I believe in January of this year, we approved a bid, or we put out for a bid, to get the fire alarm system, some of the interior and exterior doors, as well as some masonry repair. If we just exclude that, don't even include that cost, So we take the $100,000, assuming a low number of $100,000 each year, assuming the $6.75 million that were earmarked and identified as part of the five-year building condition survey in capital repairs. This just keeps it to the point where it doesn't become an unsatisfactory status. So we're talking about the basic stuff that we need to do, assuming no increase from those dollars, using those dollars, the $100,000 a year. There's a cost over the next 5 years alone of $7.3 million. Again, I think that's a low estimate, but let's assume that, let's accept that as true. That's about $1.45 to $1.5 million a year each of the next 5 years. And assuming we're able to keep a tenant or replace the current tenant at $500,000 with no break in service, so deduct the $500,000, it's a loss for the next 5 years of $1 million. Assuming no further investment, assuming no increase in the annual maintenance cost in buildings and grounds, assuming no additional repairs are needed, deducting the $500,000 with that cost, again, keeping everything the same, will, if my numbers are right, I'm not the business official, it'll take an additional 12 years, maybe 13 years, just to break even. Which means we'll be going 17 or 18 years before, and assuming all the numbers stay the same, there would be some cost savings or revenue generating for the district. So from a financial standpoint, it seems like it makes sense. We haven't used this building for decades, and it seems to me that as long as we protect the fields and access to the fields, that is an arrangement that would make sense. I think there's a value in knowing who's there, in knowing that it's a school, in knowing that it has a good relationship with our community and a good relationship with our school district. And I think, you know, I think there's a value to it. So, look, there's still things that we have to, I think, consider and work out and finalize. But to me, if those pieces fit into place, I think it's something that makes sense for the district to consider and to do.
I agree with everything that Seth said. I just want to mention that, you know, Seth's numbers go on the assumption that we would be able to replace the existing tenant immediately. There are districts on Long Island that have empty buildings that have been trying to rent them. So in all likelihood, if we were to choose not to sell the building and ACDS were to say, okay, we no longer want to rent, we want to go buy. I know Sachem has a building. There are a couple of other districts that have buildings available for either sale or lease. We could very well be looking at an empty space for the foreseeable future. It's not so easy to rent those out. And if we brought in a new tenant, depending on who that new tenant was, how much work would we need to do to get it ready for them? You know, what we've earmarked is sort of the bare minimum, but they may expect certain renovations to be done. So, you know, there is the likelihood that you know, we could be losing the revenue and still looking to, you know, and still be pouring money into just maintaining the building without that $500,000 in rent coming in every year. So just something that I wanted to make mention of.
Anyone else? Debbie?
I also agree with what Seth and Jody said, but I've said all along I'm still a little concerned about the number of students in our buildings, and I understand that we have Jamaica Avenue and Fern Place. So let's say, for argument's sake, we were to sell Fern Place. Could I get a figure of how much it would take to renovate Jamaica Avenue if, in fact, we needed to take it back? Just because I'd like to know that number. And, you know, we have a senior citizens club there. Aside from the our tenants, so I think I also want to know, and I don't know how to ask this question, the number of rooms that we utilize in our elementary schools. Like, is there a way that we can
know how close we would be to needing additional space, say in 5 years, using the number of students that we currently have and the number of rooms that we currently have. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. Absolutely. It's the room utilization. Would you run the forecast is 5 years from now, what do we think the population's going to be?
Right. And so if we took...
And looking at the buildings.
We did that.
Right. Yeah, but
we
have a new one.
I'd like to see that. And
we just did that one.
Right. So I'd like to see that again. And we've added on some rooms to our elementary schools. So what the number of rooms that we would have for students to occupy if we had to break additional grades, you know, like let's just say in Obeth Page, we needed to break another first grade and fourth grade. Would we have enough room to do that? Pasadena, you know, I'm not concerned with Stratford Road because I know we would have another room if they needed it, but the other three elementary schools. Just so I know how close we are, and then what it would cost to refurbish Jamaica Avenue if, in fact, we needed to down the road.
Lauren?
So I agree with what all my board members had said, and I actually share your concern, Debbie, and I would also like to know if and when we would be possibly mandated for pre-K, because that's an additional couple of rooms, and if I just don't want to be stuck. So if Jamaica Avenue would be a good fit, I don't know, but, you know, where would we put additional students? I'm assuming we can get that information probably from a survey of students coming up the pike.
I think it's a good idea. The more information we get, the better the decision will be and the better utilization of the rooms and the buildings. So certainly, I agree. I think that was a great idea.
And I think it's important to know, as we talk about additions to the buildings, how many more classrooms could you add onto a parkway? I'm not sure, you know, the structure of the building, where you could go, where you could come from. How much would it cost for each additional building? I know we have those numbers, but just to see a composite of it, and then does it pay to look at a building and say, you're talking $7, $8 million for the basics before it's everything we really want? At what point doesn't it pay, and does it look, you know, to add on or what have you? And I agree with Debbie, just to see what Jamaica has, because that building also is in need of a lot of repairs and stuff like that. So I think that these are things that when we start to see the big picture, this is what the rent is, this is what we're earning. If they leave and we can't rent it, this is what we're in the hole for. If our population begins to really become more consistent, we won't be adding on to buildings, so it's money we won't be expending. And we still have the income coming in from Jamaica Avenue from different entities. So I think we get a broad scope picture, knowing, as Seth said, we want to save our fields. We want to make sure that's a priority for us. And the value, because it's just basics we're doing. We don't know 2 or 3 years down the road, let's say if we still own that building, something major, the boilers may go, something else may happen. So we're just looking at costs that we think we're safe with, but we don't know. That's a building that hasn't maintained the same way that ours are being maintained, and that's what's so very, very important. Any other comments on that? You have any homework?
Well, I will be passing it on.
She will not be doing it.
I will not be doing it. But we'll do this again. We'll try to bring you the information at the next
next meeting. Thank you. I appreciate it. Where's my public participation thing? Ladies and gentlemen, District Policy Number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others can some way be violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted on the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. We would like to ask everybody to please also abide by our adult DASA policy, and that is how we speak to each other, and that I know that there have been some people very upset over the weekend, but everybody is trying to work to see what we can do to remedy, if we can, a situation, but we have to be respectful of each other. Yelling, screaming, and calling people names does not get us to any kind of conclusion, or is it the example we want to be set for our district? Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is open. You can get in line if you want. It might be easier.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Sure.
I think so. Hi. Thank you. My name is Shari Goldberg. I live at 134 Orchard Street. I've been a resident of Plainview with my family for 20 years, and for the last six years, we've lived across the street from the Front Place School. And I just want to tell the board that I understand your fiscal responsibility that you have before you. As a resident of 6 years, I can say that we walked into a hotbed of activity once we moved onto the block with the neighbors, the school district, ACDS, and the town. And last year, the town put a very nice fence around town property that sits in front of the school that the ACDS was using as a parking lot. So they had turned the field into a muddy mess. Now it's very nice. Our concern, or my concern, I speak really for myself, living directly across from that school, is that ACDS, I had read recently an article that was printed in online online article from Newsday that said that the school, ACDS, was looking to purchase the building from us and was looking to also get a town property. We are assuming, or I am assuming, it is that parklet. And I'm hoping, of course, the town does not sell to them. But I am bringing this to your attention because I think that they might only want it if they have parking, because parking is an issue. It's been a park issue for them. That's why they're parking on the field. There isn't enough parking for them. And they park on the streets as well, which, of course, is fine. But I know that myself and my neighbors would be very upset at the sale of the school to ACDS because the history there is just not good with the residents that live on that street. So, and I think that the board should be aware that the sale may be contingent on them getting some kind of additional parking for the, and I wanted to bring it to your attention as well.
Thank you. Have you gone to a Town of Oyster Bay meeting?
I haven't. I know some of my neighbors have, but I will be in touch with the town just to see what their position is on selling that parklet to them. And I assume it's the parklet in the front. I don't know, honestly. I've never walked behind the school to know if there's any property behind the school. I'm assuming that belongs to the school district. I know that there's a baseball field, and I believe the Challenger, right, yep. Field. I am assuming that's what you meant when you said that you wanted to keep that in the school district. But as a resident, of course, I mean, who would want to live across from a parking lot when they live across from the school?
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
But call the Town of Oyster Bay.
Thank you.
Hi.
Would you mind passing these for me? Thank you. My name is Amy Lederer. I live in 73 Victor Street, Plainview, New York. Hi. Good evening, members of the board. My name is Amy Lederer, and I'm a junior at the high school. I'm here tonight to speak to you about a letter you received from Dr. Lewis dated May 1st. Along with this letter, you should have received my email to Dr. Lewis dated April 18th. where I made the request for students to substitute school sports team for their physical education requirements. In that email, I provided backup information on how this is in compliance with the New York State Physical Education Guidelines, our own district policy number 8240, as well as information about how this works in other public school districts in New York State. I'm not asking to do this because I don't like gym. I'm a conscientious student as well as an active person. I've been on the school sports team every season of every year, and I plan to continue that trend in my senior year. Allowing me and any other qualified student who wishes to do this substitution would benefit us greatly. Implementing this policy would allow for student athletes like me to further our academic interests by freeing up a period to explore and take other classes, which will then enhance the rigor in our schedules that we are told to strive for, or to have an off period, perhaps for lunch. This would also incentivize other students to take up a school sport because they want to further their academic interests. Thus, students will make friends with their teammates, increase their mental and physical health, and will add to our school community and spirit. Based on my research, New York State policy, as per the Commissioner's Regulations, Education Law Section 803 and 804, and the New York Code of Rules and Regulations, Section 135.4, state that students in grades 10 through 12 may substitute a school sport for a PE class. Being that New York State allows for this, and our school policy doesn't say that I can't substitute school athletics for physical education, I would like to take advantage of this opportunity these laws provide me, and I was wondering, what are the next steps to get this policy in place? Thank you.
First of all, I want to thank you for coming, for writing the letter, for coming here this evening. You were so very articulate. Dr. Lewis.
First of all, I'm happy to meet you. When you submitted that letter, I responded and asked you to bring it to the board because that's the next step, and I'm happy that you have followed through. I actually support this wholeheartedly. I've put that in place in many other districts that I've been in, with the proviso that as I said in my letter, that the student is not just in one sport, but as you've said, in three sports, so that you're covering the whole year. The problem is that if you're just in one sport in the fall, then you would have the whole spring semester where you wouldn't be involved in a sport, and therefore. So I would absolutely support this. It is part of the commissioner's reg. I'm sure the athletic office and the physical education teachers would have to be involved. And you've followed the path to where the decision-making is made, and that is the board would have to discuss it openly and consider policy if they wish to do that. But I fully support what you're doing. I think those athletes who are doing three sports are certainly doing the activities that we would want them to do in physical education. But it really is up to the board to either accommodate to begin the conversation. But it would have to take place publicly, and then if they want to, the policy committee would consider it.
Okay, so then, if a student was only in a one-season sport?
Correct.
You would not consider
it? I would not support it. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't support it. But really, it's up to the board.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is if you could do one season and the season ends, I don't know if Joe is here. I don't know when it ends, but then you could have the whole year, the rest of the year, where you're doing nothing.
Would you, accept it if... What I was thinking is maybe that if you have a student in one sport, then you would keep that period open and make gym, pass-fail. So then once they come back from their school sport, then they go back into gym.
So that's a discussion with the administration. It begins, you have done exactly what you're supposed to do. And so now it begins a conversation with the board and the faculty. And if you ask me personally, yes, I would do that. But I would support that. But it really is the board and the discussion with the faculty and getting a feedback from the faculty on this. And having done this, I would say to the board, difficult to monitor, because The seasons don't end when the quarter ends. The seasons end, they're not at the same time. But it can be done, and I advocate for that because I know what it takes to be in three sports. I know the time that and commitment, and certainly would support it.
Thank you.
Ask one question, and this is actually for you, Dr. Lewis. If you could get some information, or maybe you know off the top of your head, schedules are set before sports tryouts take place. And yes, a lot of teams are walk-on, but many teams are not. How do these schools handle, you know, kids either making the team or not making the team after schedules have already been set? Do they put them in gym and then let them drop if they make the sport? Well, that's if you could find, I mean, maybe if you could talk to your superintendents and see if maybe, oh, you've done it. Okay. Because that would be the one thing that kind of stood out to me was, what do you do? Tryouts are at the end of August. Schedule for fall, schedules are already set. You know, is there, you don't want to cause chaos in the guidance office.
First of all, not a lot of athletes do it, right? Because it's sometimes easier to just go to phys ed. But those, no, seriously. But I've had a case where I had a young lady who was an ice skater, Olympic ice skater, who got up at 4 in the morning to go to the rink to do the skating. And she did that all year. And then got to school. And, that was an exceptional case that we would argue. But it can be done. But again, it's a conversation with the faculty, with the administration, and
we will be placing it on our agenda.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you again.
Hi.
Hi. Lori Booksband, 29 Diamond Drive. I don't have anything prepared. I came to address the childcare situation that took place over the weekend. Anyone who follows Facebook knows that I've been respectfully vocal about the whole thing. I guess I just want to express the disappointment in the communication and the way it was carried out this year. There were obviously some changes made somewhere along the line. I know that when the Y changed their policies last year, a lot of people came over to childcare, but it really wasn't communicated to those of us who are in the program already and have been for almost a decade, that this year was going to be was going to be a different kind of process, or if it wasn't a different kind of process, just more than they expected. It seems that there may have been like whispers amongst some people, but it wasn't ever delivered to the customers. That I mean, I consider myself a customer, that this year might be a problem to register. I've always registered in June, got my pre-registration in, got my forms over the summer, hands them in August with, you know, fair amount of time. One year I missed the deadline. My son missed the first 2 weeks of childcare, but it wasn't an issue getting him in, you know, on week three. And it just, this year, for some reason, I don't know what happened, but I think that a lot of us that are already in the program who would never really attend an orientation, because I can orientate people. I've been doing it for that long. Like, I don't need the orientation process. Felt a little slighted that our spots that we've had for all of these years for all of our children were just relinquished. You know, my children have been in daycare, my children have been in day camp, and in all of these places, typically what happens is the current enrollees get a form before new enrollees that allow them to hold their spot, called the right of first refusal, basically, and then whatever spots are not then held, you know, by those current enrollees are open to the public. So I think that we all felt a little slighted that wasn't the case in this situation. I had a very pleasant conversation with Cheryl Dender, who expressed that she wasn't expecting this either this year. It wasn't something that was really on her radar, that this would happen. I understand that in the past that right of first refusal wasn't a thing, but in the past neither was being closed out of the program 6 months before it even starts. So, you know, I think that I don't like to bring a problem without a solution. So I have a few solutions that I'd like to offer. One, my least favorite of all of them, because this doesn't really help me, would be to go to a lottery saying anybody, you know, scrap the first 100 people who showed up, everybody who is interested and didn't get that communication goes into a lottery, and then you just, like that school did in the city a few weeks ago where those kids got screwed out of pre-K, but not my favorite. A second choice would be hire more people and maybe utilize more rooms in Parkway. Never a classroom, ever. one second. And third would be hopefully maybe like the library would be available. My third solution. What?
It's already being
used. Oh, the gym. I know the gym is not available because there's sports, but by the time the sports come in, most of the children have left.
Per.
Right? Like the basket. I know I always pass them when I'm leaving at 4:15, they're first arriving. So by 4:15, a lot of children leave. We have to look at the numbers. We have to play with the numbers a little bit. And my final solution would be maybe like they do in Syosset, busing children from one, like from one elementary school to another school. And in my, in this case, I would recommend either the middle schools or the high school, mostly because they don't have a child care program that has nearly as many enrollees. And then maybe, you know, that would just, it wouldn't be nearly as convenient for those of us who go to Parkway. But hey, I just want my kid in child care and I don't want to have to go to the Y. So I'm hoping that we can work out some kind of resolution where we can fix this. Because I know that, you know, a lot of us are very upset.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you for your extra minute. I appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Jim Rockwood, 286 Minetta Hill Road. And like Lori was just saying, I too have a concern about JJP child care. Like Lori, we have a son who graduated from JJP, he's now in Matlin, and we have a younger son who currently is attending, and we too are locked out of the program. It was my understanding, and maybe I didn't read it carefully enough, I'm not sure, but when we received the notice about orientation and that, that it wasn't really required for those of us who have been attending for multiple years to go, and that this would not be an issue to enroll our children in. And then at an appropriate time, we were ready to enroll our children in, and they said, oh, no, you can't enroll. You know, we let you know that it was first come, first serve. And that may be true. I'm not saying it's not. But the reality is that no one was really thinking that would be the case. It's my understanding that from what I heard, and I'm not even sure this is true because information I've been given is very limited, that because of the venue, the cafeteria in JJP, they can only hold 100 children. I'm not sure what their methodology is there, whether that they enroll 100 children and there's flex hours, so a child, for example, could get, you could say, I need my child 2 days a week for 1 hour, and that reserves a one of those 100 spots. I'm not sure if they calculate that in and say, well, if we give them that spot, if there's any, like, say, for example, any given Tuesday that we only have 60 children, can we allow another 40 children in? You know, if there are all these flex spots that a parent could pick any day of the week to pick, then you really can pick a particular day and add any more people. So one of my solutions may be, you know, if these flex spots are true, to eliminate the flex spots so you could say, okay, for an average parent, I need the service, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And you could calculate that over an Excel spreadsheet and say, okay, on any given day on a Monday, we have 60, we can allow 40 more students in. I'm not sure if that's being done because I really haven't received any information, but I would like the board to at least consider, you know, looking into that and seeing how this is actually being managed. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Hi, my name is Mike Lee, live in 17 Floor Drive East, Plainview, New York. Same thing, my daughter's been at JJP for 2 years and after the child care program. And basically, my wife got a notice May 1st about the registration. And I think it was, like everybody said, it was like orientation. And we felt that since we were in the program, we didn't have anything to worry about. There was nothing on the email stating first come, first serve. We basically, the meeting was the Wednesday before the long weekend, and my wife had to work late. And since she worked late, I have 3 kids. I got home, I'm preparing dinner for them, and then driving them to dance. I didn't make the meeting. We went. Thursday, Tuesday was off. Wednesday morning, my wife called in, and we basically went there Wednesday to hand in the check to find out that were on a waiting list, and we basically got kicked out. And another parent said maybe we could try the Y, but the Y is like four times more, three times more. I mean, financially, we can't afford it. I mean, I have three kids. And I really need, you know, we both work. And if she's not in the childcare, I have to wait until 9 o'clock and then drive to the Queens. By then, it'll be 10-something. I have to come back at 2 to make it back so I could see, I could pick her up. I mean, I might as well not lose my job. I mean, I wasn't planning, you know, for this, and I didn't know that if I would have known that it was first come, first serve, I would have tented outside and sleep outside for a day, you know? I mean, it's ridiculous that we're in the program, and then it's just taken from us without notice. I mean, it wasn't notified to us. I mean, you couldn't early register. They'd send you the email May 1st saying that you have to attend the orientation May 20, whatever, and you cannot send anything early. You cannot pre-register or whatnot. It did not say that you must show up first come, first serve. I mean, if it was like that, then of course. I would have been there the night of, before. I would have waited. I mean, we can't afford to have my daughter sent to the Y and for us to pay that much extra money. I mean, this is expensive living in, you know, Long Island, you know. I mean, Plainview, everything is you know, is. And I'm just saying, something needs to be changed. Somebody needs to step up and help. Because it's not just me. My wife has been talking to another parent which couldn't make it here. And she says that she has 40 names of other working parents that have the same problem. So it's not just me.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, good evening. My name's Erica Oliver. Someone told me to make notes because I'm not good at speaking in public, okay? I live on 44 Sagamore Street. Like everybody else said, I'm here for the childcare issue. I also happen to be at Parkway, but I know that the other elementary schools are having issues as well. Plainview is a town of working families, and there is a very strong need for childcare immediately after school, especially at the elementary school level. Middle school and high school kids can go home by themselves and don't have to worry about somebody watching them, but when you have somebody in elementary school and somebody younger in daycare, you don't have that ability to just let them go home by themselves. Just like other families, I've been there for a few years now, and I've registered over the summer. I've sent in my check, and I've been fine. So this is the first year that I'm having this issue. I'm quite concerned about what's going to happen next year. I know that it's capped at 100. And I'm just wondering how many students are in the cafeteria at lunchtime with at least four classes of 25 kids. It's got to be close to that 100. So maybe we could work around, you know, what they do at the school during lunch. Like Lori said, I like to have some solutions, and mine were kind of similar to hers. You know, using the gym. I also pick up at 4:15, and my son, when he's leaving, other kids are first coming. The cafeteria, the library, art rooms, maybe busing to Matlin or the high school. I just wonder also, I think JJP, if I'm not mistaken, has a larger population than some of the other elementary schools, and I'm wondering if the registration could have been proportionate to the total number of kids. I don't know. I think I heard that once before, but if that's the case, then maybe it could have been proportionate. And also, is there a way to tell what days of the week and what hours people are using definitively? Because I know I only use Monday and Tuesday from 3:15 to 4:15. I'm a city teacher. Lots of city teachers are picking up by 4:15. And maybe the children that only stay the hour can stay at the school, where people who need more than an hour get bused. It's not going to get fixed tonight, you know, but just hoping to open up the conversation and get creative with some ways that we can help out the working families of the district.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mallory Beeler, 27 Richfield Street, Plainview. Also a JJP mom. Thank you, Dr. Sesney and Ms. Clampett. You guys are amazing administrators. I'm also a Girl Scout leader in the district, and it would be my Girl Scout honor to make sure everybody is truthful and fair, that when the child care is open for our district, that everybody gets included. I am an educator as well, and on the night of the child care meeting, I was getting back late from a school function, as well as trying to get my daughter from softball, and we missed the meeting, and lucky enough, we saw on Facebook that child care is closed. So it's my other Girl Scout honor to bring out some possibilities, and we came up with shuttling kids again from Parkway or even with Stratford Road. I know they're closed, to have the kids come together at Matlin or the high school. I'm sure there's lots of high school kids that would love to help out for community service. To help with the little kids coming over from Parkway. We also would love maybe, if, again, to open up that library. I'm a teacher in a city school, and we have tons of kids that go to childcare. We make it for all kids, not just 100. All working families deserve to get childcare and not have to worry about the extra payment to the Y. What other places can we go? We have the Y, or we have Park, Plainview Old Beth Page. So we want to stay at home at Plainview Old Beth Page. So thank you, and I hope we can come to a consensus of helping all the 30 families at JJP out. Thank you.
Hello, Marnie Ferenz, 10 Barbara Lane, Plainview, and I'm here for the same reason that the other people before me spoke. Now I'm going to try to be clever and think of something that wasn't already said. So I've been using childcare since my sixth grader was in kindergarten. We've been so happy. We have one more year to go until my youngest is in middle school, and just to have drama in the ninth hour is really kind of upsetting. I only need it Mondays and Tuesdays till 5:15. Again, the note said it was a pre-registration orientation, didn't need to go, always register over the summer, never have a problem, didn't even think about it. Saw the Facebook post, not my style to comment, not that there's anything wrong with it, but I like to do things in person, so I packed up my stuff and I went to go meet with Cheryl Dender at the child care office. And she was pretty insistent that I had received the note that I'm holding in my hand that says there was a cap. I told her I never received it. She was pretty insistent that I got it. I was pretty insistent I never got it. So I went back to Parkway after leaving my house at 5:30 in the morning to work at my own city school teaching job. And Dana, who's very nice and works at Parkway, said she had never seen the note that I was told was given to me. The security guard, who often gives out notices, said he had never seen the note. So there was kind of this backpedaling, kind of blaming thing going on, in my opinion. Bottom line is, if the school district would allow it, I would just let my kid get off the bus. I have cameras in my house. I could talk to my kid on the way home, but I don't even think that that's an option, right? He's in fourth grade. They're not gonna let him off the bus. So I need child care. I hope there's a way that we can work it out, because it would really be very helpful to all of us. I thought it was a district policy that they have to get off the bus to somebody. Oh, then I missed my older one's baseball game for nothing? Oh, rats. Okay, he can get off the bus by himself? Well, Okay. Well, I hope for everyone else that the child care issue gets worked out. And good night.
Congratulations.
Hi, my name is Tasha Fuchs. I live at 149 Sutton Drive. This is my first year at Parkway. I have a kindergartner. And while there's been a lot of talk about what went wrong, my concern is just that we find something for the future. Because I have a little one, she's only in kindergarten. The idea of busing a child from a new school to another new school is very intimidating and scary for a new one. The little kids, I think it's really hard. You're putting them into kindergarten, which is a really big, new, brave place, even for the parents. And to then tell them, well, we're not just putting you in kindergarten, we're gonna put you in another school, get ready, and then you're gonna go to a different school, and then you're gonna have school, and then you go back to a different school. It's a lot. And I just, for next year and going forward, we really need to solve this problem. A lot of people talked about the timing and the days. Even you could do it as simple as morning versus late. I'm a working mom. I wasn't there on Wednesday because I was working. And then we had a holiday weekend, so it was really tricky. But I really mostly need the morning. Okay, if I don't have the evening, if you need flexible hours for people's jobs and saying somebody gets home a little later or whatnot, but maybe you could break it down by time, like a.m. versus p.m. childcare. There's going to be a lot less in the a.m. than there are in the p.m., and I think you'll find a big change in that. So that would be my big suggestion. And then just to really keep in mind that the scariest thing is going to be for those young ones transitioning. I have a little one on the way in a few years, and the idea of her running around to different schools for the first time is really intimidating.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Hi, Veronica Grafel Savarese, 36 Beaumont Drive. First of all, I'm so sorry, Cheryl, you have to be the whipping post for this. I know you're just the messenger, and I apologize. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. However, I have three children, and I'm a mom first. And we also have been in the last case center and was in childcare, and I feel we were wrongly informed of this. And the reason being is that the same notice that we received wasn't, it's all in the email. So the header email, and there's six attachments. The first attachment is eSTEAM. eSTEAM previously in other years was October of the school year that it was in when it was presented to us. And then we got the pre-registration form as the second form. It says it includes all children in the district from grades K to four. Previous to that, literally right above it, is the underlying form with the cap. It's very it's very disconcerting. I'm a city teacher, we include all, and we don't cap at 100, so I have a real problem with that as a city educator bringing this to my home board. It's the last thing I want to do because I really love it here, but my children have to come first. And I'm crying inside that I have to plead for my children to be here. Their number is 5, 6, and they are 7. So if number 5 gets in, what happens to 6 and 7? No soup for you. This is not a Seinfeld episode. My children are important to me. So please, if you could find it in your heart, we have the capacity to educate them. There's got to be some capacity organization issue we can come up with. Teachers manning classrooms to do homework or tutorials, something. eSTEAM and 4th R are extra. Maybe they could be put to the side for the care of children. I don't know. I wish that I could be more helpful, I really do. I have no problem volunteering time, effort, whatever you need to get our children care, I'm on board with. So please feel free to call me at any time.
Hi, my name is Ram. I'm at 11 Amherst Drive. First of all, I want to thank you all for your commitment and helping the school with all the wonderful teaching and facilities that our kids benefit from. At the same time, I'm here particularly because of the same thing that everybody else expressed, which is my daughter is 7. She goes to Parkway Elementary, and we did not receive any communication regarding the change. I don't know what has changed from last year to this year and why we have to be here to express all this anguish and nervousness about what is going to happen next year. The last topic my wife and I talk before we go to bed is about, is she going to be in the daycare next year? Is she going to be? And the morning we wake up, we say the same thing again. I don't know. We shouldn't be in this situation. I don't. You all put wonderful effort, and you all are here. It's 9 o'clock. I do appreciate the fact, but we shouldn't be here to say this. I feel there is somewhere there is a communication breakdown. Again, no pointing fingers or anything, but just my honest opinion. So, at least I don't remember receiving an email or a mail saying that okay, the priorities have changed. And this is how it is going to be this year, and you better rush or come to us by this date, nothing like that. So, yeah, so other than that, again, I want to thank you all for being here and helping us and get our children great education and facilities. Please do look into this seriously because, like someone else expressed, we are working parents, and I go to city, my wife goes all the way to Islip. So we are like 100 miles apart during the day, and we have to be there at 9 o'clock no matter what. So, yes, that puts a lot of pressure on us. So I do appreciate if you seriously look into it and maybe change the process, whatever it takes. But if it does, if it means increasing the facilities in more than one school, we are okay with that. But please make it happen. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank everyone for coming, and I know that many of you have communicated by email to me, to Dr. Molieri, and also to Cheryl. And I first of all want to thank Cheryl for and her entire staff for what they have just gone through. Let me say that there have been no changes. The changes are the same as they were in September. If I go over the numbers in 20, I'm just JJP because many of the families came here. In 2009, there were 30 students in the program. In 2012, there were 29 students in the program. In 2016, there were 69 students in the program. Now, JJP has not increased in size. They, so there were 69. So JJP, 82 in some other of the other buildings. Last year, 71. So with those numbers, when we got 131 students, 131 students this year, it's a huge jump. And we were not anticipating that large a number, and still we find it incredulous that we have this many people needing childcare, but we recognize that there is a change in our community and that there are more working families. The problem is that our program is limited by two things. One, space, because we do have to have a student to staff member ratio to ensure safe environment. So that's one. And whether we can get staff to staff the program. So where you could say, let's expand it, we currently use, because if we build the program for days, rainy days, if we have wonderful days every day, guaranteed, we can use the outside facilities, right? We could use the playground. We cannot use the gym because the gym is used by our sports program, so we cannot use that. Our only options right now are the computer room, the cafeteria, and the library. And all three facilities are used right now by childcare. So we don't have other spaces. And those, and I thank you for coming up with ideas, but those other buildings, I mean, JJP is the highest enrolled, 131. But Pasadena is also now, as of today, capped. They're also there. People are on wait list, but you've got to give Cheryl a little bit of time
Because as you've said, some of you would say, I want one day a week. I want 2 days a week. Well, we have to staff the building. So allow her to look at the, you know, you can't just, because everybody is now just enrolling. It may be that she could accommodate those people on the wait list once she has settled out and sees, on Mondays we could do, if you're only asking for 1 day a week, she might look at the sheet and say, well, yes, I have that opening, and I can get back to that parent. So give her the time to do that and to get back to you. But the truth is, we have to use the limitation of our facilities and the limitation of the staff. We don't have other facilities. We cannot open classrooms to childcare. We just don't have that option. So that's, I would ask for your patience in trying to figure this out. Cheryl feels that many of the people on the wait list, she might be able to accommodate. But we, just so everyone understands, we notified all parents in September about the cap because we saw the enrollment increases. Every parent received a letter by e-blast and hand-delivered a letter in September, and I have a copy of it here, stating about the cap. So this is not new information. This is exactly what the program is this year. But as I said to you, we have a large jump in the program from 2017-18 to this year. And I know that some of the cause is that the Y has really increased their prices. And when that happened, when I first came here, Matlin did not have a childcare program for 3 years. There was no demand for it because the Y was about the same price as we were. When the Y changed their prices, we suddenly had a demand. We used to bus, we used to have maybe 3 or 4 kids. We would bus them over to POB Middle School, and we could accommodate it. And for those of you who see the POB Middle School numbers and the Matlin numbers, those are not the same as 100 because it's in one classroom. That's the Family and Consumer Science room. We cannot put 100 students in there. So we can't bus kids from JJP over to Matlin. We just don't have the space to accommodate it. But give us, Cheryl is very, very good at working things out. And you please give her some time to see how she can accommodate the we're looking at, pardon me? We know what it is to be a working parent and to seek a solution for childcare. But the truth is that a third of Parkway's kids are in childcare. So the following year, it might be 50%. I don't know where we go. I'm looking for solutions. Where do you go when more than a third of your school needs childcare? I don't know. Is it that we look to our hours of operation? I don't know what the solution is, but it's a new problem, and a new problem requires new ways of thinking and bringing some partners to the table to try to get to solve.
Can I say one more thing? I'm sorry.
Yeah, because then I'm closing public participation.
I just wanted to say thank you for addressing it. It shows how great the childcare currently is. Childcare is amazing. We don't actually do aftercare ever. My daughter begs me to do aftercare. The program is really that good. Kids beg to go because it's a play date after school, well-run, organized, and the parents feel safe. It is a very good program, well-organized, and we've appreciated it. It is really hard now to be in this position. I truly actually only needed the 1 hour before school, so I paid a lot more money, and she's now going to do e-theme, and I'm going to figure out the other days. I would like the ability to work more. Your panel, a lot of you are working women. So you can see this community has a lot more working moms, and as a result, there's no one to stay home with the kids. So it's something that really is hard, we're all struggling with. The only thing I can come up with is, do they really have to have e-STEAM? That's a smaller program. Could you close some programs and other ones are more important out of necessity? The e-STEAM's amazing, the sports are amazing, but sometimes if needed, maybe do something else. And the only other room I could think of is the music room. But I just thank you for talking about it, and I just wanted to say that childcare really is that good, and that's why people want to be in it.
We want to thank everyone who came out, and I just want to assure you that the Board of Education spent the whole weekend also playing games with their minds and coming up with very similar scenarios that you came up with. We did not anticipate this many children. By law, there is a ratio. I'm the former Commissioner of Child Care for Nassau County. It doesn't matter. You have to have space, and you have to have personnel and body counts. That's what it boils down to. So that if somebody thinks you can throw in another 25, you really can't. What we're looking at is every nook and cranny at this point in time, and we're just asking people to please bear with us because we've only had 4 days to work with this problem also. So just give us a chance and give Cheryl a chance that we get everybody's mindset together. We don't know if there could be a solution. We're not promising anything. We appreciate the fact of working parents. We understand that. I was on the original board that started childcare, and I know why it started in this district and what we've done, and it has grown exponentially over the years. And, yes, it is one of our finest programs that we have. So just please bear with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, public participation is now. Oh, Mr. Wolfner.
You didn't expect me now,
Jack. I was closing it.
My name is Jack Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive in Plainview. In reviewing the routine business under finance, I see where there are 16 items where we're authorizing the board president to sign a contract with consultants. And looking at those contracts, I see something that I have never seen in my years of dealing with municipal contracts. Item 4B of those 16 contracts says, the district agrees to defend, indemnify, and hold harmless the consultant that we're hiring, its officers, directors, etc.
Which one is it?
Which items? I'll tell you.
What item?
I'm reading from, pick any one, 8.1, 8.2, 8.3, 8.4. It's in the contract.
Oh, okay.
And the district agrees to defend and indemnify, I could read it, its officers, directors, agents, and employees in connection with the performance of services pursuant to this agreement. Now, if one of these consultants has a problem or with a child or a parent or someone, and they go to sue, they're going to sue not only the consultant, they're going to sue the school district, and the school district being having the deeper pockets will definitely get sued. And under this, we're required to protect the consultant who might have been at fault or might not have been at fault. The district is on the hook on these 16 consultant agreements to indemnify and take care of their legal fees, any finances, all their expenses in conjunction with this litigation. I don't understand how this could have been put into these contracts.
Can't pull it up. Wait a second, Jack. Can you have to just bear with us because Barbara's going to pull it up.
Want me to identify which of the contracts?
Yes.
Yeah. It's the same language.
I'd have to look at the contracts. Can you?
Barbara, if you want the.
Okay. Thank you.
There you go.
I can look at the exact language. Well, you didn't read the entire provision. So it's limited to if there is some fault on the part of the district. It's not if there is fault on the part of the contractor.
That's true.
But my point
is that
it's a reciprocal indemnification agreement, so it's not unheard of or improper under in
municipal contract. So it's only if it's something caused by the negligence of the district.
And if there is litigation,
that
whether
would be litigated.
The district is going to be on the hook.
I can't speak to hypothetical litigation. No, I'm just interpreting the provision of the contract.
I understand. I also understand that you're not regularly involved with civil litigation,
well,
which
that's
is something
not
that, that I've been involved
that's
with.
That's not really accurate. So I explained what that provision is to the board.
We have a couple of other attorneys here.
It's a provision if there is some fault on the part of the district in terms of the negligence. So if you want further review of the contracts, if you want to hold them, I'll provide you further review.
No, I don't think that we have to hold them. Okay, thank you, Mr. Wolfner. If you haven't spoken before.
I have a question about the email from September. I have a question, but I don't, with all due respect, I don't understand how email in September applies to what happened last week with the communication overlap and how no one who was in the child care program had heard about this mandatory meeting. If it was in September.
Someone said that we changed our process, and I said we did not change our process. In September, we used the same process we have this year, and we notified parents in September about a cap. That is what I was speaking to, that we have a cap. Lori, you asked about the cap, and I said that we had a cap in place this year. There are people on the waiting list right now at JJP.
Okay.
I don't think that would be clear in this communication. I'm just saying this time around. And I don't think that you addressed, I think that you squashed what we were all saying by saying that there's nothing we could do right now. But I don't think you addressed the fact that those of us who are in the program were not communicated to that we had to be at this orientation.
Okay. We've heard that from others, but thank you. We are hearing what people said.
I don't think you are.
Well, we are. I want to thank everybody. Public participation is now closed. No.
Why not?
Well, go ahead. Just finish, please, because public participation is over. We will try to do whatever we can as expeditiously as possible. I can't give you a date. I can't. Because it's unfair to you. If we can't think of something in a week, but maybe in 2 weeks we could have, then you would have lost out. So give us a couple of weeks, at least 3 weeks, to try to get this thing together. That's all we can promise you. We only have X number of space that we have. Okay. We'll try as best we can. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, public participation is now closed.
Mrs. Lieberman, if I could just add one comment
yes,
to my statement.
Go ahead, Barbara.
So it's not just negligence. It's any willful act or fault of the district that would be required. So I just wanted to clarify my statement.
Okay,
thank you.
On routine business, do I have a motion for routine business? Jody, second. Lauren, any discussion? All in favor of routine business? So moved. We have three items of new business. May I please have a motion to amend policy number 7314/6460, internet safety and use policy number 7321, opioid overdose prevention, and policy number 6180/new, policy number 9270, employee ID badge, and policy number 7125, new 5182, student ID badge. On that, do I have a motion? Rennell, do I have a second? Yes, I said it. Jody, second. Any discussion? All in favor? So moved. May I please have a motion for the 2019-2020 additional staff development catalog proposal? Debbie, second. Rennell, any discussion on the motion? So moved. May I have a motion to accept confidential Schedule A? Rennell, second. Lauren, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. May I please have a motion to go into executive session for personnel and real estate issues? Lauren, second. Jody, all in favor? So moved. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming this evening and for all.